Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 162 for October 11th, 2021. Let's get twitchy with it. My name is Hobie Henning. I'm joined this evening by a moderately twitchy Devin, who is currently powered by caffeine, espresso.
I'm not twitchy. Espresso doesn't make me twitchy. I'm just awake right now.
Devin's in a constant state of twitchiness.
Well, it was free. What was I going to do? Turn the Starbucks at Target down while I awkwardly waited for my groceries?
Why did you awkwardly wait for your groceries, Devin? Tell the audience.
A baby puked up my groceries after I paid for them. And the people of Target exchanged all of my stuff, but I was just awkwardly sitting there and the girl at Starbucks offered me a free drink.
That was really nice of them.
And thank you to the people of Target for offering to exchange my groceries. And they even, like, went and got them for me.
That was really nice of them.
Well, I regret drinking a triple shot of espresso at 7:30 p.m. Probably not, but I don't know if it's the best decision either.
We'll see tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. when Devin shuffles into work.
I mean, I always look like a zombie when I shuffle into work, no matter how much sleep I get.
Oh, fair enough. So, speaking of twitchy things, Twitch did go down last week, because a lot of stuff went down last week. Facebook went down. WhatsApp went down. Instagram went down. That was actually kind of nice, except I like Instagram.
So, what's up in Facebook, I didn't really care. I did have to cancel a virtual date night, though.
Why?
Because Oculus was down.
Oh,
Went down because it's owned by Facebook. And true. we were gonna play Star Trek Bridge Crew after work, but oh wait, Oculus was down.
Twitch got hacked, so they were briefly taken down, but they're back up again. So if you have a Twitch account, be sure to change your username and password.
Oh, if you're a password. Twitch streamer, you got a new stream key.
Yeah, a lot of people had really bad weeks last week.
Yeah, this just goes to show the internet is vulnerable and there are bad people in the world, unfortunately.
And also, like, DNS is hard.
Don't mess with DNS. Don't do it.
Specifically, BGP is hard.
Oh my gosh, BGP.
Even people I know whose, like, full-time job is, like, network engineer, they're still, like, very careful of BGP.
Yes, I told my networking professional boyfriend, this went down because of DNS, and he quickly responded, no, it wasn't DNS, it was this, and I stupidly made the mistake. Said, what's the difference? An hour and a half later, he still felt like he wasn't done explaining, but I hung up on him.
BGP is it's a bit higher level than I've ever been with networking, so I don't pretend to understand it very much. I just know it's like network wizard territory.
Mm-hmm. So yes, the internet is not indestructible.
The internet was dark and full of terrors last week. There was the new teaser trailer for, the prequel of Game of Thrones. What's it called?
A House of the Dragon, which looks so good.
Yes, and it's a new property, so no one has any idea what to expect, and it's just wonderful. I'm ready. I'm so ready to return to Westeros.
I am too. I recently got the first book on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I won't burn through this as quickly as I have on all the other books.
It's a good like 45 hours, I think.
It's 30 for the first one, but like,
oh, they progressively get longer.
Mm-hmm. But like, even then, if you're listening to an audiobook from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's pretty easy to kill a book.
I would listen to it on the, like, drive to and from work and, like, working out and, you know, cleaning the apartment. So I can't work and listen to audiobooks. So
see, I've actually found I get less distracted with audiobooks than I do with music or podcasts.
Huh, weird. Yeah, no, I end up like zoning out and focusing on the book itself. I start daydreaming.
No, I think just like having to focus on one thing plus focus on another thing, it just, I don't know, it works better for me. It lets me get distracted while not being overly distracted. So I've got an audiobook, a fidget toy. I shouldn't play with my mic.
Yes, please don't.
If I have an audiobook and a fidget toy, I can be productive at work. If I don't have those two things, oh, and a snack, I can get things done. If I don't have those three things, it's a little dicey on if anything gets done.
We all have our life hacks. So, anyway, speaking of hacks, Nest thermostats are now getting a new energy management trick. It's called Google Nest Renew Program. So, they get several features, including the ability to do what's called energy shifting, that automatically shifts between heat and cooling at times where energy is cheaper and or cleaner. You're also going to get an online dashboard, so you can see how much energy your house is using. You can see the monthly impact reports about the environmental impacts of your home. If you want to gamify your eco-friendly choices, you can now have like a game to collect as many green leaves as are humanly possible. There is a ability to do a clean energy match, so you can, if you want to, like pay for carbon credits now. And you can do tune-up scheduling. So, like, it'll let you know that, like, you need to get your HVAC serviced, like, replace the air filter, stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, so just kind of, like, trying to take Nest to the next level. If you want to pay for the Renew Renew Basic is free. But if you want to pay for a Renew Premium, it costs $10 a month. It's available in select markets, and it will allow you to pay for carbon offsets. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool as someone who just got a Nest thermostat for my family members. So speaking of, since it is spooky month, it looks like we have a zombie.
A zombie?
Yes. A Google Reader is back from the dead, kind of.
Oh.
Apparently, you can follow RSS feeds in Google Chrome for Android. So, there is now a follow button within Google Chrome for Android, and you can follow the RSS feed on a website, and it will show up in your news feed on, like, the new tab section of Google Chrome. It seems like Google's been experimenting with, like, a lot more cards in Google Chrome. Not sure how I feel about that. I mean, do you keep the cards turned on, or do you turn them off?
I turn them off.
I do too, but I suspect a lot of people keep them on, because Edge does the same thing. So, maybe it's a way to monetize Chrome a little bit more. I kind of hope this does get rolled into full Google Chrome. It would, like, Safari a long time ago, oh gosh, probably 3 or 4 years ago, had RSS built right into the browser, which was really nifty. But that was kind of before iCloud syncing. But like, it'd be kind of cool to have like Google Reader come back in the form of like a built-in Google Chrome feature that kind of like sync between your phone and your different devices. So I would be on board for that. If you want it, you can go to Chrome Flags, and the feature is called Web Feed. It's mobile only, but the iOS, and desktop versions are coming soon. So, yeah, Google Reader may be coming back, but in the form of a Google Chrome feature. Who would have thunk? Or maybe it's, like, millennials finally, like, getting into, like, a leadership role at Google finally, and then them going, hey, this thing called RSS is pretty cool. Maybe we should build that into Google. And then some old Googlers who are like boomers. Are there boomer Googles? What is the name of like an old Googler?
A Boogler?
A Boogler? Oh, I don't know. That sounds not appropriate. Anyway, and like all the geriatric Googlers are like, back in my day, we had something called Google Reader, and all the millennials and Gen Zers are like, get out of the way, boomer. We're about to reinvent RSS.
Okay, so Google Reader is before my time.
I miss Google Reader.
Toby is old.
Yeah.
Wait. I had this conversation at work today, and all of my coworkers were shocked. Do you know what an 8-track is?
I know what an 8-track is. I have literally never used one, though.
Okay, I had never heard of one until today. And all of my bosses were very, all my coworkers and my boss were shocked. And, you know, just to remind everyone that I'm the baby of the office. And apparently someone's bringing some in tomorrow to show me what they look like.
Have you ever used a cassette tape?
I have used cassette tape when I was like 2.
Same, but my parents hung on to all their cassette tapes, so we had them a lot longer than most people. Because CDs were really expensive back in the day.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it'd be like 20 to 40 bucks for a CD.
Hmm. No, I grew up with CDs.
I grew up largely with CDs, but like my early childhood, I vividly remember cassette tapes and having like hand-me-down cassette tapes and my parents having a big collection of cassette tapes that they had in high school. So, all right. So, Google TV?
So, you can now have personalized profiles and watch lists in your Google TV, which will make everyone who owns a Google TV happy.
The Google TV started off as like a little goofy, but like it's really developing into like a nice little streaming stick. So I don't really need one because I have Android TV, which I guess is getting rolled into Google TV. Like, it's weird. I don't know what the cutoff line is exactly between the two of them. Google TV is the $50 of streaming stick that you can buy from Google. So, profiles is a good thing. So, I mean, like, really, like, not that it's like a privacy thing, it prevents, like, you know, another family member from, like, cross-contaminating all your recommendations across, like, Netflix and HBO and...
That is so annoying, and I literally kicked my grandmother off of the Netflix.
I have threatened to kick my grandfather off of Netflix because he did that to me one time.
I warned. My dad threatened and warned. We made her own profile with her favorite color. But, like, she would just watch her telenovelas on anybody's channel. And I'm like, what is this? And I was like, oh, it was your grandmother. And then she also had another thing. She got kicked off the Amazon Prime app, too, because she accidentally bought things, like rented movies, using other people's cards.
Oh no.
And like she bought like a $50 movie on my card once. And I was like, that's it. I'm kicking you off.
Oh yeah, profiles are very useful.
And to this day, I still get recommendations for telenovelas on Netflix because of my grandmother who has now been kicked off the Netflix.
You haven't gone through your history and like pruned it?
I have.
Oh, that's annoying.
But, like, it's still to this day. For you. Telenovelas. Oh, I don't want to watch telenovelas. There's nothing wrong with them if you like them, but I don't like them.
My mom and grandmother used to watch soap operas, so I feel ya. Google Search has now added a guitar tuner to its big list of built-in features. So you just open up the Google Search app or your web browser of choice and type in Google Tuner, and it's built in. It's free. You don't have to download like sketchy apps from like the Play Store or the App Store that'll like do ad tracking and all of that. It's built right into Google Search. So, streamer / video influencer, is your heart broken? Are you sad that there will no longer be you've lost your chance at ever being in a YouTube Rewind?
No, because YouTube Rewind has sucked for years.
Was it ever really good? I feel like people have always been very critical of YouTube Rewind.
No.
So, was it Will Smith? Was he in the last one? Was that the very last one?
I didn't even watch last year's Rewind. I have no idea.
I think maybe...
For once, Google has decided to retire something that everyone wanted retired.
Oh, yeah, the 2020 video was panned by the YouTube community. It remains the most disliked video ever posted to the platform.
All right. So, Google is about to turn on two-factor authentication by default for millions of people. Oh, and reminding you to set up the inactive account manager while you still can.
This is going to create so many help desk calls over the next couple of months, but I'm all for it. But
I'm all for it too, but this is going to cause so many problems.
Oh, I'm going to have family members calling me for help. My grandmother's gonna, actually, and all my siblings are gonna be asking me what two-factor is about again, so. Luckily, most of them know what it is because of Apple, so for them it won't be too bad, but my grandparents and my parents is probably gonna be annoying, so. Because they don't really use a lot of Google, they don't use, like, the Gmail app on their phone, so. I don't know. Maybe they're probably going to have to download, I guess, the Google app to do the two-step. So. Alright. New features to shrink your carbon footprint with Google Maps.
Okay? I got a weird DM.
Okay. Are you trying to shrink your carbon footprint with Google Search, Maps, Travel, and Nest, and more?
I always am, because, you know, carbon footprints should always be smaller if possible.
So,
go on.
Oh, I was going to let you go on about it.
Okay. Well, go on.
Devin hasn't read the story yet.
I have not.
Okay. Starting Wednesday, people in the U.S. Will see driving routes that are more fuel efficient when using Google Maps as an option. Google's new light navigation for cyclists is now a feature. Let's bikers see instructions and details about their route without having to leave the screen on the entire time. Google Travel will show you the carbon emissions associated with each flight. And, you'll even be able to see, like, how your seat choice affects your individual carbon footprint, which I have... How do you even calculate that?
I really don't know, and I really want to know how, like, a business or a first-class seat takes up more carbon footprint than, like, an economy seat. Because, like, it's all on the same plane.
Yeah, but, like, less people can be shoved in there like a sardine, I guess. So, I don't know. I feel like... that's like paper straws. I don't know how shaming people about their their seats are going to do anything to offset carbon footprints. We've already talked about the Nest Renew feature. I can see the maps being useful. Let's see. There's going to be more information cards on like stuff like climate change, with like higher quality climate change resources. Let's see. Also, for Google Shopper, be able to see more eco-friendly options when shopping by Google. So, next year, when users based in the U.S. search for car models and manufacturers, Google will show results for hybrid and electric vehicles as well. And if you have a particular EV, you'll be able to search for nearby charging stations that are compatible with your car model.
So, all right.
Yeah. Because, like, Android Automotive is going to be a much bigger thing. So there a little of this is, like, laying the foundations for Android Automotive, which with a lot more car makers running Android as their platform, that's going to be more importante.
Well, over in Samsung land, if you own a new Galaxy Watch 4 or 4 Classic, you can install the Samsung Internet Browser on your watch.
Can you actually surf on it, or is it just for opening hyperlinks?
I think you can surf on it.
Oh no, you can surf on it.
You can surf the internet on a 1.2 inch round screen if you would like.
I mean, the Apple Watch has like a web view for Safari that will open up when you tap on a hyperlink, but you can't just like arbitrarily surf to The Verge and whatnot, or 9to5 Google. But no, I mean, it's a useful feature. Like, I guess some people would want to search on their watch. I'm just happy that, like, Samsung is continuing to add stuff to the watch every single month. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to be slowing down with the platform, so I'm happy that, like, Wear OS is getting some love, because, like, whatever Samsung does will cascade all, you know what I mean, cascade over. Mm-hmm. Cool, cool. Twitter feature?
Yes. So you can now soft block someone on Twitter.
What is soft blocking?
So, like, you're not perma blocking them. You're not, like, banning them from your feed. But you will see less. Okay, so, like, go to your profile, click the three-dot menu, and you can remove them. So, they can still see your tweets and DM you and interact with you. But, like, say someone's being super spammy about, like, an election or something, you can remove their tweets from your timeline.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that feature. Are you looking forward to
it? It makes sense. I know some people that are, like, super spammy about, like, elections and stuff like that. And it's like, great. And you're a great person, and I follow you for this reason.
But I don't need to see every single one of your other tweets.
But I don't want to see... Yeah, I don't really care about your 7,000 tweets about the election. Or whatever.
I see. Did you add this story, or did I add this story?
I added the story, because I think it's actually kind of cool.
Okay. I mean, I'm the only one on a dating app right now, so I was like...
I mean, yes, I'm in a steady relationship, but I've also never been on a dating app. I'm a female in STEM. I don't need help. I just had to say yes to a guy.
I live in a tiny college town, and I'm sad and lonely, so.
Okay, well, if you ever find a girl that you actually swipe right on, can send her a Lyft for your dates.
I guess this works if you're, like, in a, like, larger city, but, like, most people in the Southeast have cars, because, like, I don't know how you survive in the Southeast without an automobile.
Why do you call it the Southeast? It's just the South.
Stop fidgeting. Really, people in rural areas, more than anything.
I wanted a quieter toy.
Thank you.
Okay. But, like, this is really cool. You match with somebody, and what if they don't want to take an Uber, or they don't have a car, their car's in the shop? But, like, is going to pick someone up for a date a thing still? Should you get in a complete stranger's car? Then again, that's the whole, like, premises of Lyft and Uber. But, like, okay. So, beside that,
though. Please tell me why we want to use this feature again.
Okay. So, essentially, you ask a girl out. And it's just thoughtful gesture. It's like, hey, do you want, maybe you just don't want to drive because it's raining. Here is a way to our date. Or what if you plan on consuming alcohol and you don't, and you want to make sure they can get home safely? Here is a free way to get to and from our date safely. And so Vasender can choose a one-way or a round-trip ride. And if the recipient doesn't take it, they'll just get a refund. And the recipient doesn't have to accept the ride. Like, there's no mandate to say you have to use it, but it's there if you want to. And then it doesn't share location data or specific addresses with the sender.
Oh, okay. That's a better reason, I think, to use it. Especially
like they can say, I'm gonna send you a $30 Lyft voucher from wherever you want it to be to this restaurant, and it'll pick you up at 7. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, no, like, it doesn't share where you live or where you work with your date. So, like, it is safe. I don't know, I think it's kind of cool. Also, like, chivalry for the modern age? Kinda?
Yep.
You know, kind of like how rich people, oh, I'll send a car. Now you can send a car, but an average guy can.
Okay, we're moving on.
Do you get how cool this is?
I would have to be matched on a dating app to know. Anyway.
Tell you to take a selfie with Tesla.
No, I'm not a poser.
Come on, you know it would get likes.
It's all good. We're moving on. Xbox Cloud Gaming is now fully powered by the Xbox Series X hardware.
Okay.
Yep, they're getting ready to bring xCloud tech to TVs, so expect TVs with xCloud built into them next year, probably at CES. That is all.
Okay.
I added this story, and people are talking about it, but I haven't actually gotten this feature to work. So apparently, and people are saying it's amazing, so like, not saying it's not, I haven't tested it and gotten it to really work myself yet, but apparently Halide has added a new feature to their professional iPhone app that brings the iPhone 13 Pro's macro mode to older iPhones. So I think you have to pay for Halide to get this feature, and I'm like grandfathered into the old Halide that I paid for a long time ago. So I think that's the deal, and I don't use Halide enough to test this feature. But if you do use Halide on your iPhone, it's a really, really good photography app. It gives you a whole bunch of other manual controls. And I'm seeing some sample photos, and they are working. I think you probably need a lot more light than you would on an iPhone 13 Pro. I think that's the big difference between the two of them. But, if you want to do macro photography, you can try it out 7 days for free. You can either, they have a few different subscription plans now. It's $3 a month, or what they really want you to do is pay $12 a year, or $50 for a lifetime upfront. And you also get the iPad up as well. But, I mean, they've been supporting this app for a long time. Their app is arguably more powerful than Apple. Actually, it is like full out more powerful than Apple's app. It gives you a lot more control. So if you are a iPhone professional or hobbyist photographer, check out Halide.
All right. I can hear someone's jingly bells.
Oh, yes. He just got done with his photo shoot. His photo shoot was super exhausting. Oh! Cat.
One cat. Cat hasn't awakened. Well, if you were an avid user of Facebook or Instagram or Messenger or Oculus or WhatsApp, it has been fixed. I hope you didn't have stock in Facebook.
It would have actually been a good time to buy Facebook stock last week.
It would have been a good time to buy, but not a good time to have. I did a put call on it and made like $300 off of it.
Nice. I was busy working, so I didn't think about it.
I was also busy working, but like, easily distracted Devin strikes again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I got tired of family members asking me why the internet was down, so I tried to ignore it.
Ah. All of that has been fixed.
Look at my sweet booty.
You have a good cat.
So,
what I want to know is, was it really true that they had to take an angle grinder to their server cages? I've heard conflicting stories of, yes, it was an angle grinder. No, it wasn't an angle grinder. It wasn't an angle grinder, but there was a power tool involved. But like,
yeah,
it is confirmed they had to physically break into the server cages because no one had thought to keep server keys.
Well, because all of their authentication was
dumped through the internet, which was broken.
Because Google, Facebook is like, we're our own ISP. And we done screwed up BGP, so we have no network connectivity. So, and there were discussions apparently within Facebook HQ about which doors you could kick in to get into the office, and which doors you couldn't kick in.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's awesome. Last week was probably a really long week for Facebook's IT department.
I wonder if anyone got fired over this.
Oh, I am sure, because Mark Zuckerberg lost six billion.
Damn.
I think it was a
$6 billion over an 8-hour outage.
Yep. I think that engineer is never working at Facebook ever again.
Okay, but I could see that engineer being hired at somewhere like Twitter or like Google or Microsoft because the hiring manager hates Facebook that much. Like, I could very easily see him getting hired by someone that hates Facebook.
Or it could be like, hey, you increased Twitter's value by a couple $1 million, or you increased Telegram or Signal's value. Would you like to work for Telegram and Signal?
Just don't do that again.
Yeah, just don't do that for us, but thanks for giving us that boost last week.
Here's a nice signing bonus for the 70 million users we got last week.
Oh, man. So Instagram, which apparently Instagram, according to that whistleblower and a bunch of other reporting, knows that its algorithm is like really bad for teenagers, particularly like teenage girls with body image issues. And Facebook knew that, and kind of like Big Tobacco in the 70s, they tried to bury it. And anyway, just ignoring all of that, Instagram is introducing a take a break feature and a nudge feature to take teens away from harmful content. Is this like low tartar cigarettes for Instagram?
This is the millennial version, or this is the Gen Z version of cigarettes are bad for you. Like, this is literally that.
Yeah, a lot of days I wish, like, it's way too late now, but I wish Instagram would have never gotten bought by Facebook, because it was, like, such a nice social network, and it's just, like, it's still like my favorite of the two of them because like it's focused primarily on images and funny videos, but at the same time, like
Facebook ruins it because they want to make it more like TikTok.
Yeah, I don't know. I could do without the shopping tab.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the videos so much; those are delightful. But like, I could do without the shopping tab. I feel like that's like a step too far.
It is. It really is. Like, when was the last time you ever bought anything on Instagram?
I mean, I bought you a Christmas present from Instagram, I think.
Which one?
I cannot remember. I think I saw it on Instagram, and then
I've definitely seen things on Instagram and then gone to the app and or like searched the company website and bought it.
Oh, my wallet. Yeah. Your wallet. Yeah. So. But then again, I threw it out to Safari so I could use that coupon code. So
I see ads and coupon codes on Instagram, but then I go to the website and supply the coupon code. I never buy an app from Instagram.
Facebook does not have my credit card or debit card. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go out of the app to buy stuff, which I'm fine with.
And I purposely do not have a credit or debit card hooked up.
But you do because you have Oculus.
No, that's actually set to a privacy card.
Fair enough. Oh, man, because Devin's using privacy cards so she can save up for a six-figure Mercedes-Benz EQS.
No, but good transition. this is an all-electric luxury sedan. So if Tesla is not bougie enough for you, you can get a Mercedes.
This is really ugly.
Really, I like it.
I don't like the exterior, that silver color.
Oh, I like it.
Mm-mm. No.
What's wrong with it?
I just don't like the black top to it and how it's just like a straight. It's kind of like straight way across. It doesn't look good. Well, namely on the hood. I don't like if they had cut it off and had the hood kind of silver, and also like the door handle that, and then I guess that's a charging port, but it looks like a third door handle. I don't like the symmetry of it, and also the way that the front hood kind of slopes is weird. Like I would have, less aggressive with the sloping.
Whatever. Anyways, if you get the rear wheel drive version, you can get about 350 miles on a full battery or 340 on the all wheel drive, which is on par for the Model S Plaid.
Hmm. They do have a ridiculous 56 inch span touchscreen. Have you seen the interior of this thing?
I have not. There's no picture in the article.
Oh, I just sent you an image. Scroll down and see that interior. So, basically the driver instrument cluster is all digital. They have a huge, map section.
That and media. Is sexy.
And then you the passenger can play games and watch movies.
And I want this car.
It's angled in such a way that, the driver can't see the actual video and whatnot.
I want this more than a Tesla. I like this a lot.
I like it in the blue. The blue's nice, and I bet you it probably comes in a nice red, too.
This looks futuristic. I like this.
Let's see. Yeah, the red's nice. I just don't like the way they do two-tone. Mm. They're, two-tone silver.
I really like this.
And the black's cool too. So yeah, very cool. I will never be buying one of these because it's six figures, but it's still kind of cool to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably buy a Tesla before I can get anywhere close to this, but I want this.
It's still nice to dream. Oh man. So Oh, wait. This is not a Wear OS watch. I do not care about this.
I was wondering why you put it there.
My brain thought this was a Wear OS. Anyway, there's a new Polar Grit X multi-sport watch. It's a incredibly rugged watch. It's $500, but it does have sapphire lens and a more durable watch band. So it's basically built for all types of extreme sports. So if you're into extreme sports, you know what you need. And it's not a Wear OS watch. It's maybe an Apple Watch, but an Apple Watch probably doesn't have quite enough battery for you. So if you're into super extreme sports that need to go for hours and hours and hours, all day, this is kind of more up your alley. but you're probably not using this for like your daily carry watch. So, all right. So, Canon has a really
this
goofy
thing
new camera.
This is cool.
It's a lens, actually. It's a new dual fisheye lens. It is the dual fisheye EOS R lens. The lens will come out in December for to the tune of $1,200.
But it's designed for creating 3D VR images and content.
Yes. So Canon calls out the Oculus Quest 2 as a potential hardware destination. And it's the first interchangeable lens that can capture stereoscopic 3D, 180 VR imagery.
Okay, so it'll only work with the EOS R5 and can shoot up to 8K.
I could see that, because it probably has a significantly more capable processor and faster storage than like a normal Canon DSLR. Solar or mirrorless, so
you'll need the $2,000 lens on top of the $4,000 camera.
I mean, reasonable, but yep. But, I mean, if you're making that kind of content, that's like par for the course. So
yeah,
cool. All right,
do you want one of these?
Do I want one of these?
Yeah.
I mean, I would test it. I just, my next laptop's probably going to be all type C,
FC.
So I don't know if this would work.
But will a YubiKey work through a USB dongle?
I don't think so.
Ah. So, YubiKey has announced a new line of security keys that let you unlock your accounts with a fingerprint.
It's called the YubiKey Bio. Oh, there is a Type-C one. So the USB-A one is $80 and the Type-C one is $85. I actually need to test. I recently got into some YubiKeys at work that I need to test out.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I mean, my Macs have like Touch ID and probably. Well, Macs have Touch ID anyway, so you don't really need that biometric reader for the Mac. But I am going to be testing them for stuff like LastPass and Duo and 1Password and stuff like that. So.
Nice.
Actually, I'm going to add that to my reminder list to do tomorrow to test out. They've been on my desk for like a week now, and I just haven't gotten to get to them.
All right. So, if you ever wanted to run for office, but had no idea how to, because apparently the process is very long and complicated, which I'm not surprised. Snapchat is launching a Run for Office portal to encourage younger users to run for office.
Nice. So what does it do exactly?
So essentially, you can take a survey and... So it's like a set of miniature applications from within Snapchat, and it will, like, you can say, like, what issues you are concerned about, like budgets or gun safety or education or healthcare, stuff like that. It can set your local area, and then it will explore positions that you can run for, and then it will actually give you a step-by-step, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that to actually run for office.
You can also publish your own takes on different issues, can't you?
Yes, you can.
So, yeah, I thought that was... I think it's neat.
This is
really
cool.
I'm not super into Snapchat.
But this is... Snapchat did this for the election when it was... And they got millions. What is it? Did they mention it somewhere? Oh, 1.2 million of its users to register to vote in 2020. And so,
sorry, my cat's grooming me. It tickles.
Oh. Yeah, no, this is really cool. So, hopefully, with stuff like this, we can start voting out all of the really old white guys who don't know what they're doing.
I'm a representative population of the United States. Would would be a good thing. So,
no, I've always wondered, it's always confused me. At 65, 70, we make people retire from working. We take away their keys. We put them in retirement centers because they're a burden to their friends and family, or they're too old to do anything. But yet 90% of people that are running the country are the old guys that we tell, hey, go away.
Yeah.
It's really confusing. Do we really need a 72-year-old making financial decisions for the entire country?
I mean, there's a certain thing to be said about experience, but...
But at some point, let someone else take over.
Yeah, yeah. The, some people don't know when it's time to, like, let the younger generation kind of take charge and make mistakes and improve things, so...
Look, you've got AOC, but, like, I think that's, like, she's one of the few people under the age of 40 in Congress right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're when right. People under 40 is, like, over half the population.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, this is cool. If you want to run for office, join Snapchats.
I'll have to up my Snapchat game, then.
All right, so this is really cool. Prusa, you know, the maker of the leading, like, 6 years in a row running leading desktop 3D printer, is getting into automation and the business side of 3D printing.
Oh.
They will be representing the Czech Republic at the Dubai Expo in 2022 at the Next Gen Show. Mm-hmm. And they will be showing off their 3D printing farm.
Hmm.
What is it called? Yeah.
So, other than what makes it a farm versus just plugging in a million 3D printers, is it?
So it's like a unit. It's not like 20 printers sitting on tables next to each other. It's like an enclosed unit. They describe it like a server rack. So, like, if one goes down or you need to just hot swap them, you can, because they're on rails.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all automated of getting things started and sending things to printers. And it's got its own software. So there's 34 Core XY printers, and they're cube shaped to make them more efficient. And they're all hot swappable. And so it's all modular too. So you can scale your farm down or up based on your needs. And what's really cool is that it's going to have a mechanical arm on rails that can go and pull parts for you.
Hmm. Very cool. So they're trying to sell this to businesses, right?
It's not actually out yet. Like, this is just they announced it. But, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. And check out this event in 2022 to see more about it. Like, there's no price. You can't buy it yet.
Hmm. Gotcha. Interesting, interesting, interesting. We have lots of 3D printers at Auburn University. So not anything near this level, but they're a lot more common than you would expect.
Mm-hmm. So, like, based on their feedback, they're thinking about marketing it to big universities, engineering firms, and companies that need to do a lot of replacement parts.
I am or quite in-house sure.
Low-volume manufacturing.
I'm quite sure we will be having a conference call with them at one point to acquire one of these.
Yeah. No, they're really cool, and Prusa is the best of the best for, like, desktop 3D printing, just because of how reliable they are. For roughly $900, you get a pretty great machine. And I'm very sad that mine's currently broken.
Ooh. Oof. So, Sally Ride?
Yes. So, Sally Ride, I actually met her about 4 months before she died. Oh, wow. She is being memorialized on 2022 quarters.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. All right. So, last story. Because we're, you know, I mean, there's a part of the podcast that we love Nintendo. Nintendo has announced its very last Super Smash Brothers Ultimate character. So this brings the roster up to, what, 80-something players now?
I think it's 90 now.
That's a lot. It's so many characters.
It's a lot of characters.
It is an impressive... Like, this is going to be the biggest Smash Brothers game ever. But, yeah, the final fighter is going to be Sora from Kingdom Hearts, which no one ever thought would happen, because, like, Disney owns so much of Kingdom Hearts that, you know, I mean, I'm surprised that Square Enix, you know, I mean, this was allowed to happen. So, yeah, Sora is the very last character. He's the 82nd playable character.
Oh.
If you're not counting Echo Fighters. So, I think it's closer to 90 if you count Echo Fighters.
There you go.
Yes. And also, they've announced that you'll be able to play all the Kingdom Hearts games on your Nintendo Switch via the cloud streaming service that Square Enix has.
Very nice.
Yeah, so if you've never played Kingdom Hearts later this year, I think you'll be able to start playing that on your Switch, because not everybody has a Sony console. So, one of these days, I will play Kingdom Hearts, but there are so many of them. They're so convoluted, but they're so... I've played a little bit of them and they're fun, so... Plus they're like Final Fantasy and Disney, so for me that's like the best thing ever, so... Because
mm-hmm.
I'm a big Disney dork, so... Oh, alright, so it's time for the picks of the week. What is your pick of the week, Devin?
Wait, so mine is the Nebo Torchy flashlight. This thing is about 2.5 inches big, and it is the brightest thing ever. It's 3-inch package with 5 modes. So turbo, which is 1,000 lumens. And then it just goes down from there. It also has a strobe light. It charges via, it's wirelessly charged. It's water and impact resistant. It has a knife clip, so you can clip it to things or use it as a headlamp if you're wearing a baseball hat. And it's magnetic, so you can mount it to things.
Hmm.
You can see this thing from like a mile away. It is bright. And like when we didn't have power during the ice storm, like it would light up half the house with it. It is $35, mm-hmm. but it is very much worth it. Mm. Also, just like I keep it in my backpack just so it's kind of on me all the time. And if you ever are in like just walking home at night or something, or just in a dark situation, you need a flashlight, like this thing is bright.
It looks like they got bigger versions too.
They do have bigger versions, but, like, from what I understand, they do the same thing.
There's one that's $75. That's a full flashlight. It's 6,000 lumens.
Oh, wow.
With 4x zoom, 4 light rooms, waterproof, impact resistant, power bank. So you can charge your phone from your flashlight, your... Wow. So which one do you are you recommending specifically?
The Nebo Torchy, which is the really tiny one.
Tiny one. Okay.
Yeah. I actually have two of them. I have one by my bed, and I've got one in my backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody sent them to me. I don't even remember who sent them to me or why, but they are amazing.
Very cool. And I guess you can pick them up from a variety of places.
Mine came from Batteries Plus, but you can get them on Amazon or specialty flashlight stores or in survival gear.
Nice. All right. We have a similar theme of darkness this week. My pick of the week is a Safari extension called Noir. It's a Safari extension specifically built for the iPhone and the iPad. Because of iOS 15, Apple introduced the ability to run Safari extensions. So it's interesting because it doesn't actually have a Mac version, which is super weird. But what it does do is, for $3, it basically adds dark mode to every single website. It's their own version of dark mode. I don't know if anyone's ever designed a dark mode for a web UI or an app UI. It's dark mode is not as easy as going, hey, turn the white pixels black. You really got to do some design work. So the developer Noir has a really nice dark mode. It's automatic, but it is granular, so you can say hey, specific websites, you're always going to be dark, but don't make every single website dark. Or hey, go ahead and automatically enable it when I'm in dark mode, but don't use it when I'm in light mode. But I've installed it on my iPhone and iPad, and I really like it. It's simple, gets the job done, and it's available now. You can get it from the App Store, and it's $3. So, all right. So with all that being said, I think we need to go ahead and wrap up because you got a meeting in 20 minutes.
And a very important email that needs to be dealt with before said meeting, about said meeting. So.
Take us away, Devin. Where can we find you?
I am on the internet at DevinJCR on Twitter and Instagram.
Very nice. You can find me HobieHitting at Instagram when it's up, Twitter, and Medium.
All right. Until next time, stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask in public, get vaccinated if you can. And until next time, stay curious.